All right, for the last few weeks, we have kind of covered the book of Genesis, and it is a different type of spiritual food, and in a few weeks' time, I'm going to continue with the series on the book of Revelation. But in between, for the next couple of weeks, I sense that I need to cover other aspects of the scripture, and as just like when you partake foods, you need protein, you need carbohydrate, you need vegetables. So this morning is a slightly different kind of spiritual food. I want to have a message to encourage people. And so if you can turn with, if you have the Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 7, verse 36 to verse 50. And then after that, we will go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, please. Right, so first let us read this portion of the scripture, Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to verse 50. Verse 36 says, "Now one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And he stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And he kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you need this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You give me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with the fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sin?' Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" The next scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's a very well-known verse for new believers in Christ Jesus. I will just read it. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." All right, this ends the reading. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your words of encouragement, that in your word there's always a future and there's always a hope. And so, Father, I pray that you take this word and begin to deliver it, Lord, according to your will and your purpose. And for many of us here, we need, Father, Lord, your word of life and your spirit in your life will encourage us, will lift up us up, Lord, in being encouraged and in boldness, that we are able to once again, Lord, rise up and live the life that you want us to live. So this morning, I pray that you anoint your servant lips to speak in a simple but a powerful way, and you begin to set free, Lord, set your people free from every bondages, that they may rise up, Lord, to live up to their full potential in Christ Jesus. And therefore, I pray, Lord, you begin to eradicate every condemnation in the hearts of your people, and that they will take your word, believe wholeheartedly, and begin, Lord, to live up the life you have ordained for them. So in the name of your Son Jesus, and we all pray and we all ask, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right, this morning I'm going to preach a sermon that deals with life issue, and by that I mean the main issues that we face in our life. Now, it pertains to things that hinder us from growing and living a new life that God wants us to live. And we all have a past, whether it is good or whether it is bad. Now, because of our fallen nature, in the past we may make mistakes, and some of them serious mistakes, and we may fall into some sin, and may have some bad habits, or we may conduct ourselves inappropriately, or we may encounter some accident, misfortune, a broken relationship, or we may do silly things in our life that offend people. Now, as a result of all this incident, people put a negative label, a bad label on us. And this also happened in the Bible. Take for example, in the story of Thomas, he once doubted Jesus, and therefore we have given him a label. We call him Doubting Thomas. And also in this story that we just read in the beginning of the sermon, there was this people around this particular woman at Simon's house, and they label her as a sinner because of her past, because of the sin she committed in the past. So because of some of our bad past, people begin to label us. And they call us a miser. They may call us a miser, a bigot, a born loser, an adulterer, a drunkard, a stupid person, so on and so forth. Now, even some parents, out of a fit, may curse us and label us as good for nothing, a failure, never going to make it, so on and so forth. And therefore, negative words and labels can be powerful things. It cuts deeper than a knife, and it can go deep into our spirit and our soul. And at times, these labels stick like a super glue. It becomes a stigma in our life. So this negative begins, words begin to bog us in. Words are like seed. If you dwell on it long enough, these will take root in our heart. And so over time, these bad and negative labels cause us to live in bondage. It haunts us, and it tells us what we can and cannot become. So it holds us back and keeps us from who we can become in Christ Jesus. So in the opening passage that I've just read, Jesus had accepted a party invitation of a Pharisee called Simon. And this Pharisee was not a friend of Jesus, and most likely he was an adversary. And there was a woman who tagged along to this party, and there were many people around. And most people somehow knew this woman and her past and her history. And so this woman was labeled as a sinner. Sinner. Luke chapter 7 verse 37. Now she must have had a notorious past. And during Jesus' time, because of the very dusty conditions of the road, as a basic hospitality, beside getting a customary greeting of keys, an invited guest would also get their feet washed by one of their slaves, and their heads would be anointed with perfume. However, because Simon the Pharisee was trying to snub Jesus, he received none of this hospitable gesture. No greetings of kiss, no washing of feet, and no anointing of perfume. And so you can imagine it was an atmosphere of hostility instead of hospitality. And this is sort of meal where silences are very awkward and long. And everyone was trying to second guess the other people's body language and gesture. And so they're trying to pick up motives and unspoken word. And so there was certainly no trust, no love, and no goodwill in the room. And beneath that atmosphere, there was a shame that was heavily thrust upon this woman, and she was labeled as a sinner. And people was trying to see what Jesus would say and what Jesus would do unto this woman. And so she could sense the guilt, the sense of guilt and shame that was thrust on her. And she seems to cease to be a person. She lost her name and her identity, and she was only known as a laborer, a sinner. And there was a tension and there was a hostility in this room. And the question is, why was she there? And why open herself to hatred and to disgust? People who would make her life miserable on a daily basis. People who did not see her as human, who always make her a labor. What could be so powerful to compel this woman to come into this place of shame and hostility, the house of Simon the Pharisee? Now, it is none other than the presence of Jesus. And this woman heard and saw Jesus many times. She was drawn to Jesus' love, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And when she hangs out with Jesus, she always sense a liberation and a restoration in her spirit, a restoration of her basic dignity. And Jesus' love and forgiveness gave her an identity that no shame could strip away. Love and forgiveness that came with an unexpected gift. And above all, it is a gift, not a reward, and not an earned wages. What freedom and what relief. No wonder she knelt at Jesus' feet. She washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and anointed the feet with costly perfume and kissed them with a heart of worship. And we live in an economy and culture of exchange. People will give you money if you provide a service or product that they want. And the wages is a measure of the worth of the service or the product you provide. And there is no free lunch. And if ever a free lunch is given, it is given with a motive. But God's economy is different. It is based on pure gift and grace, unearned, unmerited, and undeserved. And there is no currency that can buy what God would give. No work that we can do that would even equal the value of what God would give. And through God's gift, or rather, though God's gift was costly or was not, cost us nothing, it would cost Him tremendously. And it was a different kind of exchange. We can bring our sin and our shame to the cross or at the feet of Jesus, and we can exchange it for love, mercy, and forgiveness and righteousness. It is a super good deal beyond our comprehension. And it was an exchange that is totally in our favor and at the total expense of God's riches. And besides, and because this woman could sense a kind of love, grace, and forgiveness, she was bold enough to break that barrier of hostility. And the gift of love touched her and it overcame her shame, her fear, and her stigma. And she responded in faith and exuberant love for Jesus. It broke every hostility. She shamed her host by extending an exuberant greetings and courtesy to Jesus, which he rightfully deserved as an invited guest. And she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped it with her hair and anointed it with an expensive perfume and kissed them with a deep gratitude. And so Jesus turned to Simon the Pharisee and said, do you see this woman, a sinner whose label and stigma who has been erased, a woman free from her shame, no longer an embarrassment, and she can now show great love because she knew in her heart that she had been forgiven much. And therefore, now we want to look at that, how we can apply it in our life, application in life. And many of us are held in hostage from things that happened in the past. And people often label and put a stigma on us. And therefore, my topic today is how we can break away from our old stigma. And some of this labor may be true, some may not be true, and some happen because of circumstances of which we have little or no control over. And it can also happen because of some nasty, bitter and resentful people around enjoying snubbing at us. And if these labors are true because of our past mistake or sin, I tell you, there is good news for every one of us. Because God's love, mercy and forgiveness is bigger than our past mistake or sin. We just need to own up our responsibility before God, and He is more than willing to forgive us. And for some of you, you know that God has forgiven you, but you are not willing to forgive yourself because your heart condemns you. And there is a verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things." If God has forgiven you, brother and sister, you do not have to let the devil condemn you. And that is how the devil works, and he wants to put a stigma on you through people. And this is to keep you from living a liberated life that is in Christ Jesus. And the enemy fights you, fights you to keep you from what you can become in Christ Jesus. And you cannot stop your enemy or the devil from putting a label on you. But you can choose to immobilize the negative labels that he puts on you. You are not what people or the devil says you are. You are forgiven. You are liberated by Jesus. And Jesus paid the price on the cross with his blood. And you can be who God says you can be. The only power that the label has over you is the power that you have given it. And you can overcome it by removing that stigma. You have to quit thinking about it. Quit thinking as though it is true. Change your mindset and the label will have no effect over you. Do not even let the enemy condemn you by saying, "Yes, it's true in the past. It is also true now." God's mercy is bigger than your past, and God's power is always bigger than your present. In fact, if you own a label that is really true about yourself, I want you to understand what is true about you today or in the past does not have to be true about you in the future or tomorrow. I believe with all my heart that God's power is going to speak to many of you, and He's going to break that labor that binds you day after day. And you're not going to wear that label any longer. The labels that says that you are a failure, or a born loser, or you are miser, or you're stupid, or you're not going to make it in life. Whatever it is, or whatever the curse that parents or authority has uttered over you, you can break it in Jesus' name. And therefore, I ask that you submit and you surrender yourself to God's word written in the Bible, black and white. And there is a powerful verse that is written there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says that, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." It says, "All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What does that mean? It says that, it says anyone who belongs to Christ. Anyone means anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, where you come from, how bad your past is, or even how true the label about you was in the past or in the present. All these things do not matter any longer, provided you belong to Christ. And when you belong to Christ, you are those who have repented of your sin, and you have submitted to the Lordship of the Son of God. And anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. New creation, and he has become a brand new person. It even goes on to say that the old life is gone. And what has happened? He says a new life inside you has begun. And you can begin to live a new nature, not in the old nature. And if you are in Christ, all of the old stuff, the labor and the stigma can be done away with. It is gone. The power of sin that has held you back can now be broken in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all the past have been washed away. The newness of life in Christ is available to you. And that which held you hostage will hold you no more. And therefore, I want to share three thoughts with you as kind of a key for your breakthrough in your life. I believe it will set you free from those labors that have held you down. If someone has given you a labor or a stigma, effectively they have given you a name. And our God, through the power of Christ and what He has done, will give you a new name. So the first key point is this. God has given you a new name. And in Isaiah chapter 62 verse 2 it says, you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of God will name. There was another verse in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. It goes something like that. He says that those who overcome, He will give him a stone. And on that stone, there will be a new name. And I love this because you will be called a new name. Many of you who have been held back by something that you believe to be a lie, they have called you this and that, but God will give you a new name. Brother and sister, new name. In the Bible, there are already a few examples. One example would be Abraham and Sarai. And we have just covered Genesis, you know, the last couple of weeks. And there was a couple by the name called Abraham and Sarai. And they wanted a child more than anything else, but they couldn't have a child because Sarah was barren. And God say, and God promised Abraham and Sarai, He says that you are going to have many, many children. You're going to have many descendants. And your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. It will be like the sands on the seashore. So many of them that you could not even count. And then God cut a covenant with Abraham and Sarai. He said, from this time onwards, you are no longer going to be called Abraham or Sarai. You're going to be called Abraham and Sarai. You're going to be called Sarah. And the meaning of those names is Abraham means a father of many nations. And Sarah means a mother of many. And so here in this example, you can see that God has given them a new name. And Abraham and Sarah believe this, you know, on this particular word that God has given him. And they persevere in their faith. And at last, these things comes to pass. So, that is one example. The second example is Jacob. There was a guy named Jacob. And his name means a schemer. Means he's a conniver. Means he's a swindler. Now, though this was true of Jacob, Jacob was a fervent believer of Jehovah, the God of Israel. And he was willing to let God change him and mold him and shape him. And so God, there was one encounter with God. And then at the end of the encounter, God told him, I'm going to give you a new name. You will no longer be called a Jacob, a schemer, a swindler. But from now onwards, your name shall be called Israel. Israel means a prince of God. Someone who has been, you know, entrusted with God's power and prevail. And that is the new name that God has given him. You can read it. It's in Genesis chapter 32 verse 28. You go and read the old King James Version. Alright, the third example, there was a boy by the name of Benjamin. Benjamin was the 12th youngest child, son of Jacob. And his mother was Rachel. And Jacob's wife. And Benjamin was born during the journey when Jacob and his family was migrating, and they moved from a place called Haran, which is in present Iraq, and they moved towards a land called Canaan, present day Israel. And along the way, Rachel actually had a very, was in labor pain. It was extremely difficult. And so she gave birth to this particular child. And because it was a very sorrowful and painful kind of childbearing experience, so he called this baby Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. So, and then after that she died. during this, after this childbirth. And God decided to change his name through the father Jacob. And Jacob decided to call his name and call him Benjamin, means the son of my right hand. And so he got a new name in Christ. And so when Jacob blessed his 12th son, when you come to Genesis chapter 49, he prophesies over Benjamin. He says that Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, is going to be like a wolf that prowls. They will devour his enemies in the morning and divide the spoils in the evening. Genesis chapter 49. You can read it in around verse 27. And so that means that the tribe of Benjamin will be known for its warring characteristics. And this means that the tribe of Benjamin will produce many warriors. And indeed it came to pass, it produced many warriors like the judge Ehud and King Saul and Prince Jonathan. And then when you come to the New Testament, you produce spiritual warriors like Paul, who wrote, you know, a high percentage of the New Testament. So when you are in Christ, you become a new creation. And God will give you a new name. And whatever you have been labored in the past will no longer be true. You will grow into that new name. You may feel unworthy of the new name, but I say, you may say, I'm not good enough. I'm not there yet. And here, I want you to understand, God will help you to grow into your new name. You are forgiven. You are work in progress. And you may not feel it that way, but you're going to grow into the position in Christ Jesus. All your sins and your past are gone and forgiven. And for us, some of you, God is going to make you an overcomer. For your whole life, they have said this to you. You'll never overcome anything. But God is going to give this new name to you. You thought, no, no, no. Some of you may feel very inadequate. You feel that you don't measure up. But God is going to say, whatever I call you to be, I am going to equip you. And you will grow into that new name. And many of you have been labeled with negative things in the past. Do not believe what others say about you. Believe that you can be what God say you can be. And so point number two, God will give you a new purpose. And with the new name comes a new purpose in life. You can see God doing many of these things many times over in the Bible. And here, you see it in the life of Simon, an apostle of Jesus. And he was labeled as one who is undependable, unstable, wishy-washy. In fact, his name was Simon. It means a reed. And when Jesus met Simon, he says, you are fishing for fish, but I'm going to give you a new purpose. He says, for the rest of your life, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, you're going to be an evangelist. You are going to be a world changer. I'm going to give you a new purpose. You're going to do things that you thought never possible before. And over time, Jesus asked him, what do people say that I am? And so Simon said, some people say that you are John the Baptist. And some say that you are Elijah. And some say that you are Jeremiah. And some say this and that. Then Jesus turned to him and said, who do you say that I am? You, not what other people say. Simon, and then Simon began to say, he says that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus replied to him in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. He said, blessed are you. He said, Simon, son of Jonah. He said, for this was revealed to you not by flesh and blood, but this was revealed to you by the heavenly Father. And he says, I tell you, Simon, I'm going to give you a new name. And now you are going to be called Peter. And Simon means a reed, something that is unstable. It bends with the wind, reed. But you are going to be called Peter. You're going to be a small rock. And you will no longer remain undependable, wishy-washy. You are going to be a steadfast, a small rock that is going to be instrumental in helping me to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so not only are you going to give you a new name, but they say a new name come with a new purpose. And Peter was not the rock from day one. Let me tell you this. Nothing close. In fact, he messed up a few times in his life. But God was growing him into his new name and new purpose. So, for example, Peter actually denied Jesus three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. But then after Jesus resurrected from the dead, Jesus graciously forgave him, restored him. And then he began to call him. He said, go, do what I have called you to do. Feed my lamb and tend my sheep. So on the day of Pentecost, now guess who God have chosen to become the guest speaker of that day? It was Peter, the rock, the one who knew what it was like to fail before, to fail Jesus before and be forgiven. The one who was best qualified to stand up and to preach the gospel. And he says, repent and turn to Jesus and you will be saved. And on that day, Peter the rock led 3,000 people to Christ. And so Peter the rock was given the privilege by the Lord to inaugurate the New Testament church. In fact, tradition tells us that at the end of his life, they're going to martyr him. They're going to kill him and crucify him like Jesus. And he told the executor, he says that I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. And therefore now you crucify me upside down. Now he was born not a rock, but he died as a rock. And God was going to give many of you, he's going to give many of you a new name, a new purpose. And he's going to grow you into that new purpose. And here is good news. I want you to take whatever negative labor that's been associated with you because of the weakness in your past. God is going to raise up great strength through your weakness. And don't let labor of the past define you. You are not what others say you are. You are not the result of the past. And the third thing is God will give you a new future. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. Through the power of Christ, our God will give you a new future and a new hope. Many people are so pessimistic about their future because of their past. They say, my life is not going to go anywhere. It's not going to amount to anything. On and on and on. Now, even though you are faithless, God is faithful. And this is what God says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. And in the Old Testament, there was an example. A lady called Rahab. And she was a prostitute. Her labor was true. She was a prostitute. She must have thought, I have make myself a trash. I messed up my life. I'm not going to get a good marriage ever. And God, you know, could never love me again. Then she started to hear about the God of Israel. And the Bible says that her heart melted as she heard the story about the God of Israel. And then one day there were two spies from Israel that came to her place. And she did something amazing. She risked her life to hide the spies, and most likely in an effort to know the God of Israel. And so this prostitute decided to help the two spies and the nation of Israel. Now, later on, when she got to know the God of Israel, she became a new person. She was transformed. She knew she was forgiven. And God has given her a new purpose and a new future. And with that purpose, as I said, there is a new future. And God did what no one else would have thought possible. And God gave her a God-fearing husband called Salmon. And she had a great marriage when nobody else could have thought was possible. And that labor that tried to bind her because she was a prostitute was broken in Jesus' name. What was true of her past was no longer need to be true of her future. And here is what God did through Rahab the prostitute, who married a God-fearing man. And out of the Rahab the prostitute, down the line came Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, born to take away the sins of the world. And this is an amazing story. A prostitute whose life was restored. He had a God-fearing husband and became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. And in the Holy Bible, her name was honored and mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And don't you allow the evil one or anyone put you in a box and put a negative label on you. You do not have to be what everyone else say about you. And by the power of Christ and repentance, you can get past your past. And in conclusion, brothers and sisters, God will bestow upon you a new name, a new purpose, and a new future. And then you will grow into that name and the new future. You may not be there yet, but you will grow into it. And God will perfect His strength through your weaknesses. That's what the Bible says. And you will never be the same again. And that which held you back in the past, I proclaim, is broken in the name of Jesus. And so for many of you, do not let your past hold you back. Let not the enemy implant this wrong mindset into your head. Don't allow the past stigma imprison you. And you look at your life now, and you may say, I don't look like what God wants me to be right now. Now it is for this purpose that Son of God, Jesus Christ, has come to destroy the works of the enemy in your life. And we are all sinners saved by grace through faith. But you must surrender your life to Him. And you don't have the power to get to where you need to be. You need Christ and His grace in your life. Who is Christ? He is the Son of God, born without sin, lived a perfect life, died for us on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, and He was raised on the third day later. And so here, the scripture says that anyone who calls upon His name will be saved, will be forgiven, and can be transformed. And you can choose to break away from your old labor in Jesus' name. And I trust that this sermon has released the anointing of God onto you to empower you to break free from your past stigma and your labor. And may you begin now to live a new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, can I get the musicians to come forward? So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to break whatever curse and whatever negative stigma or label that people have put on you, so that it will not hold you, so that you can break away from this old stigma and live a new life that God has ordained for every of His children in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for this sermon this morning. As the word is spoken, I believe, Father Lord, the anointing is being released, Lord, to break, Father Lord, all these labels, stigma that the people have put upon Your children. And this comes from the enemy. And therefore I pray, Father Lord, You will encourage them. You are the lifter of their head, Father. You will break them out from this old mold, and they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The new creation starts right now. Not in the new heaven and earth, but right now. But it's going to culminate fully when we go into the new heaven and new earth. So in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, that You will begin, Lord, to just minister to these souls, to these people. You envelop them with Your love, and You envelop them, Lord, with Your joy, Father, that they will rise up, Father, and live to their full potential in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand for the enclosing song? Thank you.
Indeed, God has turned our mourning into dancing, and He's turned our sorrow into joy. And I'm ready to praise Him for this last song. Thank you.
once again for this morning, for this message. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that every one of your children here, Lord, can be totally set free and released, Lord, to grow, Lord, into their full potential. So I believe, Father, Lord, as this word has been spoken, you have released anointing to remove every burden and to destroy every yoke, Lord, in their life. So I pray, Father, Lord, that they will live in the full liberty of Christ Jesus. So as I dismiss them, I bless them, Father, they're going out and coming in. And Lord, may they, Lord, just find this liberty to share the good news in Christ Jesus to their friends and to the community around, that they may draw, Lord, more people into your kingdom. So in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. The service has ended. God bless you. For those who need prayer, you can make your way to the front and we can pray for you. So for the rest, you may be dismissed, and please join us for a cup of coffee and tea. Thank you. Amen.